Gonna press record then. Well, thank you so much for coming on to speak with me this evening.
Thank you for having me. Yeah, great to be with you.
Brilliant. So, obviously, not everyone will know who you are from starting off in this session. So, if we could start off, could you tell us a bit more about your background in business and marketing and what you do at Salonology?
Yeah, sure. So, hi everyone. My name's Ryan Power. I'm with my wife Holly. We co-founded the salon coaching brand Salonology 9 years ago. So we've been doing this for 9 years now, helping other salon owners, and that all came about because we were salon owners ourselves. So we owned a day spa and a salon here in sunny Bournemouth, and we owned that for over a decade. And what we realized after maybe 4 or 5 years of doing that, we realized that there were certain things that we were doing that were quite different to what other people were doing, what other businesses around us were doing. And we realized that what we had and the sort of systemization within our business could be useful to others. And we started putting content out there. And now, 9 years later, we coach more than 400 other salon owners, helping them mostly with business growth and marketing, and systems in their business, that kind of thing. So I'm not about to teach anyone how to deliver a better facial or anything. That you don't want me going anywhere near you in that respect. But if it's customers that you need, or more money in your business, or more freedom within your business, and getting off that hamster wheel, then they are the sort of things that we help people with. Yeah.
That's brilliant as well, because obviously if you qualify as a beautician, you work your way up and you want to open your own business, but everything about the beauty, but obviously on the business side you may not know as much. Obviously that's where you guys come in and absolutely help boost it to the next level.
100%. And do you know what? It's actually really interesting that you say that, Dawn. But what we find are so many of our clients, they own a salon now, but they never set out to own one. They just somehow have got one somewhere along the line. Either an opportunity has arisen, or they've bought out an old boss, or they worked for a boss they didn't like and thought they could do a better job of it themselves. But they never, from 5 years old, thought one day I want to be a business owner. So what we found is that there's often a drop off in those, or a gap, shall we say, in some of those skills. So they're super qualified and skilled when it comes to the actual physical doing of the job, as it were. That's definitely not what we help people with, but it's the how do I put those business skills into place, which are so important nowadays, more important than ever. And it's that skills gap that we really help people with. And bizarrely, we did it completely back to front, how most people would, in that when Holly set up and launched our day spa and salon, between us, we had a total of zero industry experience. So Holly just thought it would be a good idea to open a salon. And she'd never worked in a salon. She wasn't beauty qualified. We had to employ someone from day one because we certainly couldn't deliver any of the treatments. We had to employ someone who was qualified and insured to do so, because she must have the right insurance, right? And so we were completely the backward. But what that allowed us to do was lean on our experience from other industries and from other businesses that we'd owned, and apply some of those skills to the salon world. And would you believe it? It's like, well, actually, salon businesses operate pretty much the same way under the bonnet as all sorts of other businesses. Business is business, really. Yes, you're having slightly different conversations with people on the, on the salon floor level, but ultimately, a business is a business, and it's there to create a profit for its owners or for its shareholders, and to pretend, and provide a service for its clients. And ultimately, that's true across the board. So we figured that we could put some of what we'd learned in other industries into place in salons. And yes, we could. And yes, it worked. But it also turned out that that was, as I mentioned, different to how a lot of other people were doing it, which again, in turn, meant that we were able to stand out from our competition. And that's what we hope for our clients now as well.
That's absolutely amazing. What kind of businesses then did you do previously, if you're willing to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I'm willing. Yeah, I'm willing to talk about it. Yeah, so we got a wide variety actually. So immediately before the sound of Holly, Holly worked in recruitment, which again is completely unrelated. And I had a financial services background, so I worked in financial services for 10 or 15 years, and then I had a jewelry business which I owned for about 8 years. So all completely different. They couldn't all be more different if you tried. But it turns out that, yeah, under the hood, guess what? Most the principles of making a profit are still the same. You're just selling something different. And as I say, I can completely understand why there is that skills deficit in some areas. And that's to be expected because most salon owners never went to business school, don't have business degrees, probably didn't even like business necessarily that much when they were studying, you know? But now it's like, oh, actually, even just a basic appreciation and understanding of some of those skills that are required at the most basic of levels, which isn't not difficult. If you can qualify in all sorts of other things or learn to drive a car, then you can learn these business skills. They're no more complicated. But when you put them into place, even just a small application can give you a massive leap ahead of your competition because a lot of the competition around you, they're probably in exactly the same situation. They're probably also trying to figure it all out themselves. There's every chance that some of them are just completely winging it from day to day, as lots of it. Guess what? Everyone does when they start, right? That's okay. But for longevity and for your own sanity, then it does kind of pay to have some systems in place, I would say.
Oh, definitely. So, moving on to my next question. Obviously, we're not shaming anybody here. Obviously, you've had a wealth of
Of
experience, been
course.
to a range of salon owners, with each and every little thing they needed. What's a common mistake you see that maybe that salon owners do in their businesses?
Yeah, great question. And yeah, there are common themes that we see over and over and over again. And okay, so there's quite a few. So I'll run through a few of them to try and give as much value for people watching as possible. I think one of the first problems, specifically within the marketing realm, as it were, which is one of the things that we talk about a lot, is I think a too heavy a reliance on social media, and not only a heavy reliance on social media, but a high reliance on organic social media, i.e., free non-advertising social media. And what social media has taught people over the last 15 years, or certainly for the 10 years prior to the last five, were that you can build a business on social media and you don't have to pay to get in front of people and you can reach a whole load of people and pay nothing to do so. And I feel it's kind of spoilt people. And now social media is like, well, actually, if you want to play that game, you're going to have to pay a little bit now, most of the time, especially if you want to reach people outside of your existing community. And as a result, that's kind of meant people, I think, to take that a little bit for granted. And I think that if you look at pre-social media, then if 15 years ago, if you'd have wanted to advertise in a newspaper or a local magazine, you would have had to pay. If you wanted to put flyers through people's doors, you would have had to pay. If you wanted to do a collaboration to appear in someone else's business, you'd have had to pay. And then social media came along and everyone went, oh, it's great, it's free, and you can reach tens of thousands of people. And you could at the start, it was really, really simple. And then over as time has gone on, it's got harder and harder. And as they've monetized their own platforms, which guess what? They're a business with shareholders too. So they're gonna wanna make some money. They just looked at it that they would make it, you know, they would give a lot of value up front, I suppose. And now that, as I say, makes people, I think, too many people think, well, if I put a post on Facebook, I'm going to get 50 bookings. You know, that's going to be seen by hundreds of people and loads of people will book in with me. And the reality is that, you know, you're doing well if like 2% of people see your posts. And guess what? It's the same 2 to 5% every time. So if you've got 500 people following your page, you might only get 30, 40, 50, 100 people see your post. And that isn't very many people, especially if it's the same one. So people get frustrated and they're like, I'm trying, I'm putting stuff out and I'm doing, I saw this video and someone said I have to do reels. So I've done them and I'm supposed to do these lip syncs. So I've done that and still no one's seeing it. And why are my diaries still empty? And now I'm spending 6 hours a week being a videographer and a video editor, you know? And I think sometimes I think we need to take an approach that is a little bit different. And I think we need to have a look more. And this is the second mistake that I often see is that people just they don't have a system in place. There's no systemization of how do I attract people into my world in the first place, which again has changed because years ago, as long as you had a good high street location, that was you were going to be fine. But now, a lot of salons aren't on the high street. And secondly, there's a reason for that because the high streets are not what they used to be, you know? So because of that, the whole landscape has changed. So I think that, you know, every salon owner, every business owner really needs to have some sort of systemization in place for how do I get people into my world in the first place? How do I let people know who I am? How do I let people know that I can help them? And then secondly, how do I then, after giving them an amazing experience, because I'm going to assume that everyone watching is fantastic at what they do in terms of the services that they deliver. But after that, how can then I make sure that that client becomes a fantastic client, a super fan, an ambassador of my brand, rather than someone that comes once and then I never see them again? And the things that make that happen are not difficult. They're not difficult to do. There's just some very specific things that you need to do, which most people do not do. And therefore, people, you know, fall through the cracks. And again, that is true with lots of local business. And I understand why it happens for lots of people. They're going to be thinking, well, that's all good and well for you saying that, Ryan. But, you know, I have to do this job and that. And, you know, especially if it's they're the only person. And you've got to wear 50 hats and you're juggling all these different balls and trying to spin all the plates. And it's like, I don't have time to do this marketing bit that you're talking about as well. And I do understand that. I do understand that. But I would question whether or not people prioritize marketing high enough in that list of jobs that they have. This is how I like to look at it, Dawn, right? As a business, for a business to survive, we need money, right? We need, I know it's a bit crass talking about it and it's not very British, but you do need it in your business or you're not going to be in business for much longer, right? Any business that doesn't make a profit is a charity. And whilst that is very noble, it also isn't, it's not going to feed your kids, right? So therefore, you need to make sure that you have got cash coming into your business. And the way that you get that cash into your business is it comes via your clients. And the way that you get clients is via marketing. So marketing equals the cash in your business. Now, for me, and I mean, call me a capitalist pig, but for me, it's like I'm going to prioritize that pretty high because I want some money in my business because I've got a team to pay and I've got a dog to feed and, you know, I've got a mortgage to pay and all these things, right? And you read about how everything is getting more expensive and how, you know, all these issues within the country. Well, in that case, that means it's even more important that I'm getting paid, you know? So ultimately, I would always want to prioritize that marketing. And the good news about this for anyone watching is that your competition probably aren't on top of this either. They're probably doing a terrible job of it. They're probably, as I mentioned earlier, winging it anyway. So even just a few tweaks and just doing a little bit, a few steps in the right direction, just some baby steps can really make you stand out. When we still had our day spa, which we've since sold, we didn't think we were doing at the time anything completely out of the ordinary, but only now looking back and in the position I'm in now, seeing so many other salons, it's like, oh, actually, we were doing things completely different. And we didn't even, they would just seem normal. They seemed like they were normal things to us at the time. But the reality was that most other businesses weren't, they weren't doing anything in many instances. You know, they weren't doing anything. And again, because in days gone by, if you had a good location, you didn't have to do very much, you know, because you would get people coming in and the word of mouth would spread, and you'd get, you know, that hustle and bustle on the high street would could mean you would be busy for a lot of the times that you were open. But the landscape doesn't look like that anymore, and there's more competition within our industry. There are very low barriers to entry, particularly on the less expensive services. You can get up and running. I mean, most people have had the experience of another business literally just popping up seemingly out of thin air overnight. We had one very recently near to where we live, and it was literally within one day it was an empty unit, and 2 days later it was an all shiny, all singing, all dancing, like nail bar that had looked like they must have worked through the clock, through the night, a squat, like one of these DIY SOS programs or something, where they, you know, send people in, because it literally just appeared overnight. And I know a lot of people have experienced that. So because of that, and because the barriers to entry are so low, it means that we've got to do more to hold on to our clients. So part of that is providing an amazing service. It's wowing them. And it is also understanding that our industry is an experience for our clients. It's not just transactional, you know? And we feel, particularly over the last few years with everything that's happened in the world, now a lot of people really, really value their salon time even more than they did before. You know, we saw from 2020 how important mental health is to everyone and how important our industry fits into that community role. And for a lot of people, their trip to the salon every 6 weeks or however regularly they go, that is a sacred space for them, and their phone is off and the kids can't get them and the other half can't get hold of them, and that is their little bit of space time for them, you know. And we should be respecting it and treating it as that, and really crafting it as an experience, and not, you know, just someone popping in for a massage or to get their nails done or whatever it might be, you know. So I think that as a result of a few of those things, yeah, I think that outlook has changed. And I also feel, in terms of one of the other mistakes I think that I see a lot of people make, is they don't charge enough. That is a real biggie, people not charging enough for what they offer. And I think part of that comes from a lack of understanding of what the numbers really mean, in terms of the money coming into my business, it does not go straight into my pocket. You know, that's the revenue of the business. You've got to pay all of your costs out of that. You've got to pay your insurance. You got to pay your rates. You got to pay for everything, or your broadband, you know, the works, right? And the way I look at it is every service or treatment that you deliver has to contribute to a little slice of some of those costs of running your business. And I think a lot of people don't really understand the correlation between the costs of their business and the price that they should be charging. And as a result, they probably think they're making more profit than they really are. Which is obviously, ignorance can be bliss, but it can also be very, very dangerous as well. So I feel that a better understanding and grasp of those numbers would make people increase their prices a lot more. And when you put your prices up, you can do lots of wonderful things, Dawn, as well as actually paying yourself a proper wage, which is a good place to start, because again, we're renowned as an industry for not doing a very good job of that. But also it means you can give your clients a much better experience. You can add all those little extras, all of those little wow factors that we all enjoy so much when we go and visit other businesses. We can do that for our clients. And it's often those things that people remember, that they talk about with their friends, that might be the difference between a 4 and a 5-star review, that might be the difference between them coming back again or not. And rather putting the focus on those things, sadly, what a lot of people do is they put too much focus on the amount that someone is paying and their own belief, which is often a false one, around how much people would pay for a service or a treatment, you know? And I think, again, a lot of people confuse what they would pay with what a client would pay. And let me give you an example. In our salon, we used to do HIFU treatments, high-intensity frequency ultrasound. It was like a non-surgical facelift, right? So like these, like, does that for you, yeah? It's the closest you can get to a facelift without going under the knife. And we used to charge over £1,000 for that treatment, okay? Now, I wouldn't have that treatment, but that doesn't mean that I'm not going to sell it for other people, you know? And it certainly doesn't mean that I would say, well, I'd only pay £200 for that, so that's what I'm going to price at. It's got nothing to do with me. It's not about me. It's about our clients, you know? And our clients, typically, when they come to us, it's because a lot of the time it's because someone has some form of pain, not necessarily a physical pain, by the way, but they're in pain of some description that they want. And it might be, as I said, emotional pain. Like we spoke about earlier, it might be their sanctuary, their 1-2 hour slot that they get to really, truly unwind. And you shouldn't underestimate what people will pay for that. You don't know what they've got going on elsewhere in their lives. And it's none of our business what someone else wants to pay for something, you know? And I think some people think, I wouldn't pay £50 for that, so I can't charge that, you know? And that's dangerous because someone might want to pay that, you know? So I think that there's quite, but again, a lot of that, some of that is a change of mindset, bit of a shift. And some of that comes down to just putting slightly different practical principles and practices in place within your business. And they're not necessarily difficult things to put in place either. Just at the moment, a lot of them don't exist at all.
No, definitely, I agree. And I think moving back a little bit to when you were talking about, you know, creating that space and getting them to almost be an advocate for your business, I think that's such a key thing that people overlook around creating a community feel, because then obviously they want to come back, they feel welcome, you know, they're going to recommend to the friends, like, you know, I went to this brilliant hairdresser, she's vegan, it's fabulous, and, you know, look at my hair, she's obviously brilliant at what she does, and, you know, and everything else. Creating that is like some of the most key things that I learn as a marketer as well, obviously, and I know that you know as well. And I think it's something that I would urge anyone listening to definitely have a look into. Just, you know, there's a load of free marketing courses out there that can sort of tell you a bit more about that specific thing. Obviously, if they're really struggling, obviously you'll be the best person to go to, really, because you know exactly what to do.
Well, it's interesting what you say about referrals as well. That's a point worth touching on, because some people really, really struggle. But the thing is, as humans, we want to give recommendations. We want to give referrals when we have a good experience. Like, for example, if you and I were just casually chatting at work tomorrow, and if, let's say for argument's sake, I've gone to the cinema tonight and I'd seen a really good film, I would take great delight in telling you how good that film was. No financial benefit to me, by the way. So it's not like you got to pay people to do this. People will willingly do it if you give them a good experience, you know? So again, for the film example, people are like, yeah, you've got to go and see this film, Dawn. It was absolutely brilliant. And, oh, I won't ruin it for you, but there's this great twist or whatever it might be. And then afterwards, you know, I feel good about sharing that with you. And if you then go and see it and you have a good time, I feel good about it. You know, it's got nothing to do with me, nothing to do with me at all. And I'm not a film critic either. But the point is, we want to give those recommendations. So people want to do that. And you don't need to pay people necessarily. You don't need to overtly incentivize them so that it feels forced or inauthentic. All you've got to do is wow them and remind them that if they happen to have a conversation with some of their friends, you know, or someone asks how come their skin looks so glowing, then maybe just share with them how that came about, you know? And again, sometimes I feel that that's just, it's having those conversations with clients. You think the thing is, Dawn, about clients is that the clients didn't get the memo. They didn't get the memo that they have to buy all of our product upsells. They didn't get the memo that they should be inviting their friends. They didn't get the memo that they should be trying other services. They should be coming back twice as often. They didn't get any of those memos. So we have to train them. And we have to have those conversations with them to encourage people to take the actions that we want them to take. And I think some people think, oh, I don't want to do that. It's sleazy and it's salesy. Oh, I don't like doing that. And it's none of those things. It's just having a conversation with people and sowing the seed with them on how you would like them to behave. Much in the same way that if we don't tell clients how we want them to behave, then they'll behave however they like. And that often involves leaving bad reviews, turning up late, not turning up at all, cancelling at the last minute, pretending that, you know, your gran has died when you look at their client notes and their gran's died 3 times in the last 18 months. You know, those sorts of, all people hear the same things. And that's because we've trained those clients to behave in that way. You know, for example, if you don't charge a cancellation fee, you are training your clients that it's okay to just ditch you at the last minute. If a client messages you at 11 o'clock at night and you reply, you are training them that it's okay to message you at 11 o'clock and you will reply. Yeah. And I don't think people always give that enough thought and make that. Why do they keep messaging me at 11 o'clock? Because you replied to the first one. So you're telling them it's okay, you know? If you had never replied to that and the world wasn't going to end if you didn't reply until the next day, nothing was going to happen, you know? So there's some of these little small things. And I think, and again, I appreciate it's a lot for people to try and remember sometimes. And because it's a lot to remember, that is why it's, you know, you need systems in place in your business so that if you, the business owner, are there or aren't there, if you've got a team that are delivering your promises on your behalf, they are following a system so that they can't possibly get it wrong. And a lot of people say, well, I find it difficult to tell, you know, to train my staff to do that and to do what I say. And, you know, but I like to look at it this way. You know, if McDonald's can train their staff to act in exactly the same way for every single client, they offer an upsell on every single order. You know, if you order the burger, they're going to offer you the meal, whether or not, because that's their job. It's part of the job. You have to say these words. And there's no reason why we can't do that, you know, if we take the time to train our staff and to train ourselves as well properly, to actually have those conversations, which might feel awkward the first time you have them, asking for a rebook, asking for the sale, asking for people to try more expensive treatments. Is that awkward? Might be awkward the first time, and it might be awkward in your head, but it isn't for your client. You know, it's not awkward for them. If I come to you and I'm booked in for a treatment and you've got something else on your menu that would help me much, much more, and you're not telling me about it, then you're doing me a disservice. You're not helping me. You're making things worse for me, you know? And again, I think sometimes we just need to get out of our own way and think, you know, how could I help that client at a higher level? And if you've got a 12-week program that costs 10 times the price of what they've come in for, you at least need to tell them about it, you know, because if they're looking to solve their problem and you've got something there, that's going to help them, you know? So sometimes I think we just need to get out of our own way, I think, sometimes.
No, definitely. I definitely agree. We are now, unfortunately, coming to the end of our Q&A. So I think there's only so many minutes Zoom gives us, unfortunately. So I guess my last question for you, you said you've got a new book out. Could you describe to me under 100 words about the book, or is that going to be too little words?
I can certainly try and do that in about 100 seconds, which I think is what we've got left. So Yeah, so this is my second book. I've written two books, both about salon marketing. The first one has got more 5-star reviews than any other salon marketing book on Amazon, which is something I'm very proud
Ooh.
about. But the new one, which has literally only just come out, it's called the Successful Salon Marketing System. And it is all about putting a system in place for your business. So if you find marketing difficult and you want a systemizable solution for your business, which helps you attract clients and then also upsells the more expensive solutions as you go through and helps them become ambassadors for your business, then this book shows you step by step how to do it. It's exactly what we did in our business, and it's what we teach to those who work with us as well. And people can get that directly from me. It's not on Amazon yet. And the website is salonmarketingbook.com, or just reach out to me on social media and I will send you the link.
That's brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. It's been really great to talk to you and very insightful as well.
Likewise, thank you for having me. Yeah, I enjoyed it.